Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom, objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
So finally, I'm not preempted by football, and here I am on a weekend where it looks like the entire Republican Party is running away from Donald Trump and many of them are calling him to quit. Did they just wake up yesterday? I mean, are the tapes that came out with his horrible statements about women something new? Is there something about Donald Trump's character that they discovered that was not known months ago? Suddenly, everybody realizes the guy's a brute and a thug. It's kind of funny, I have to admit. I mean, all these guys who endorsed him are now trying to run for cover. Why? What was new revealed? The guy's a thug, and he hates women. We knew that when he called Megyn Kelly and Carly Fiorina names. You don't have to wait for some tape from 11 years ago, which is horrible what he says. I mean, I'm a guy. We all discuss women, sex, or whatever in the locker room, but he's talking about assaulting women. He's talking about physically assaulting them, and he's cool with it. That's not the kind of conversations I've had in the locker room with other guys. I don't know about you. All right, you're listening to your Yaron Brook Show on a weekend where, unfortunately, it's all politics. All everybody wants to talk about is politics. I'm not big on politics. I don't think they matter that much. But we're going to talk a little bit about Donald Trump. And what I really want to talk about is how did we get to where we are today? And what's missing from this presidential campaign? What kind of candidate is missing? What would be a refreshing change to the nonsense that is American politics today and really has been for a long time? But what kind of candidate would you like to see? If you could, you know, click your fingers and create your fantasy candidate, what would it look like? Well, I'm going to tell you what mine would look like. But I'd be really curious to hear from you as well. So we can see where this goes. But let's first talk about this Trump. So we've got two candidates here. We've got Hillary Clinton, who, you know, where do you start with Hillary Clinton, right? She's corrupt, clearly corrupt. I mean, no pay for play. We've got these recordings now from her talks to Wall Street financiers. And I'm a huge fan of Wall Street. But look, when they're paying her $250,000 to give a speech, it's not because she's a great speaker. They are buying access. That's the way the game is played in politics, unfortunately, today. This is pure cronyism. She is corrupt. Her foundation, of course, her foundation's corrupt. All those foreign money that came into that foundation and then, you know, is used after the fact, when these foreign leaders want to talk to the State Department or want to gain access to important people, you don't think it affects her views about foreign countries, for example, Saudi Arabia? When she's Secretary of State and getting money into the foundation named after her and her husband from them. You can go way back to their time in Arkansas. This couple is unbelievably, they're corrupt people. And then, of course, idea-wise, they have no ideas. They're all about power. She is all about power. And, of course, after she gets elected, and I think there's a high probability now she will get elected, she is going to go to the left because that's where her base is, and you're going to see her, you know, bring really a bunch of socialist policies to the United States, grow government even bigger, increase regulations, increase controls. Yeah, Wall Street will be okay because they've paid her off, but one wonders about the rest of us. We're all going to get groped, to use Donald Trump's terminology, right? So we've got a leftist candidate who is a power luster, who is corrupt. And on top of that, something that just shocks me that Donald Trump and Pence don't point out when they debate her is how incompetent she is. Everything this woman touched when she was Secretary of State, is a disaster. Whether it's Iraq handing it over to ISIS, whether it's Syria, you know, brutal, crazy civil war, which has emboldened our enemies. Now, I'm not saying we should have gone in and intervened, but look what's going on in Syria. She was Secretary of State. No responsibility, nothing. Look at ISIS. ISIS didn't exist before she was Secretary of State. Here we are today. No responsibility. Look at Afghanistan. Afghanistan's about to fall. Big chunks of it already are in the hands of the Taliban, about to fall and to the Taliban. And if we actually took our forces out, who knows what would happen in Afghanistan. It would probably fall to the Taliban. Look at Russia. Russia, right? She was Secretary of State. Kerry's Secretary of State. This administration, which she supports, Russia's become more and more and more aggressive, more and more and more hostile, both in Syria and in Ukraine. Everywhere in the world, Russia's asserting itself not as our friend but as our enemy. This is under her leadership. And then the Obama administration, again with Hillary Clinton, pivot to Asia. We're going to make Asia the focus of all our efforts. So what do we get? We get a much more aggressive China, a China that is doing all kinds of things in the South China Sea that are not in America's self-interest. So everything this woman touched was a disaster foreign policy. Give me one success. You know, the Europeans don't like us. The Brits don't like us. Who likes us exactly? Where's the success? Where's progress? What did she do as Secretary of State? Why does nobody talk about that kind of stuff, right? And the things that Bill Clinton actually did good, like welfare reform, like not doing anything because of gridlock, he's criticized for that. Right, so that's what we get on the Democratic side, right? We get a statist, a woman who wants to grow government, a woman who is inherently corrupt. So what do we get on the right? We get a brute who doesn't understand the American Constitution, who doesn't understand, you know, the role of the separation of powers. He wants his way, and he's going to get his way, and he's going to drive his way. Who has no understanding of the science of economics, none whatsoever, thinks that trade is a problem. That's the problem that we face. Who, you know, is a vulgar human being. He's just not a kind of guy I would hire as my gardener. He's not the kind of guy I would hire to do any work for me. And if he was my employee, I would have to fire him because of his vulgarity. In the debates, we had the debates. You know, we're going to have the show is on Saturday. We're going to have another debate on Sunday. But we had a debate two weeks ago. And he was handed softballs. He couldn't handle them. He fell apart. You know, he is responsible, or one of the people responsible, for the birth of conspiracy theory. And what was his excuse? None. He had no excuse. He couldn't explain it. He couldn't even say, look, I'm not a racist. Even this with a white guy, I would have done this. That's a simple answer. I really believed he wasn't born in the United States and it wasn't about race. Simple. Lots of simple stuff like that. And yet he failed on all of them. Awful, awful. One of the worst debate performances ever. And don't blame the moderator. It wasn't the moderator's fault. He had her. He could have gone after Clinton on foreign policy and a bunch of different things. And he laid off. And he played defense, and when he played defense, he couldn't defend himself. He could not. He couldn't defend himself when he came to Putin. He couldn't defend himself when he came to the birther issue. He couldn't defend himself to accusations of racism. He couldn't say anything about police shooting. All you have to say about police shooting is, look, there's obviously been some cases where it's been horrific how the police behave, but the police are essential. You know, say some good stuff about the police and how essential it is to law and order. We need to stand behind our police. And if there's if the department where there's abuse going on, that needs to be dealt with. But there is no evidence of systemic racism in the police forces around the country. If you believe that, you say that. It's talking points. Easy. He didn't have a clue. He couldn't even acknowledge there might be a problem, which makes him lose all credibility. Really all credibility. I mean, the guy's a loser. He really is a loser. And I'm sure many of you listening are big supporters of Trump, you know, and you think you're going to vote for him and you think he's great and everything. Just listen to what he's been saying. Right? So, you know, and then I mean, you talked about trade, which is was completely wrong. Everything he says about trade. I haven't talked about immigration and the wall, which is, again, completely misplaced the blame for all our problems and a fear-mongering that he engages in. And just a lack of any kind of real economic knowledge. The fact that he won't talk about, neither candidate will talk about entitlements. Entitlements are driving us bankrupt. Nothing else. Nothing else. Right? In terms of the budget, they don't talk about the budget deficits. And does he have foreign policy solutions? I don't think so. What an election. Oh, my God. Two candidates that are complete and utter people that you cannot, in my view, vote for. All right. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. We'll be right back after the break and talk about what an ideal candidate would look like.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So we're talking a little bit about the elections today. You can call in and participate, 312-642-5600. Who would you like to see running? Who do you think is your ideal candidate? What does he look like? What views does your ideal candidate? Oh, maybe you think Hillary or Trump is your ideal candidate. Let me know. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show, and you can call in 312-642-5600. Who would you like to see on the ballot? Because I'll tell you, I can't think of a worst choice in American history, literally in American history. I mean, I would rather be voting for Richard Nixon than these losers, and I hate Richard Nixon. I mean, can you remember a time when we had two? I mean, I kind of get it on the left side, right, on the Democrat side. What they didn't have anywhere to go, and Hillary's all they've got, and they've been getting worse and worse and worse, you know, candidates forever. So yeah, Hillary makes sense. By the way, my producer's telling me Nixon wasn't that bad. Oh no, he was awful. Not just because he broke the law, but because, like, all the regulatory agencies we know today, the EPA and things like that, they were all instituted under Nixon, the environmentalist regulations. He had price controls at some point. Price controls. I mean, in America, to control prices. Like, he's the one who declared, we are all Keynesians now. Oh, my God. Just as Keynesianism was falling apart. Now, you know, 40 years later, we are indeed all Keynesians now, it appears. I'm not, but all those in power. But anyway, that was Nixon. So Hillary, we kind of expect. How did we get Trump? Now, I think there are two reasons why we got Trump. One is Trump is a backlash to the left, right? Think about it. The left forever is being, you know, PC. You can't say this. You can't say that. You have to watch what you say. Men are bad. Men are bad. We put down men. Any sign of masculinity, any kind of behavior that's masculine, that's bad. You're privileged. You're a white male. That's the worst thing you can do. And so here's a guy who is expressing his masculinity in a vulgar, pathetic, horrible way, which we would never have tolerated just a few years ago. But, you know, now we're willing to tolerate because the left has conditioned us. You know, it's a rebellion against the left. It's a rebellion against PC. And we're so dumbed down by the left and the right and George Bush and conservatives that we don't have no appreciation of trade. We have no appreciation of markets. We have no appreciation of capitalism. We have no appreciation for what the true role of government is. That when we get somebody like Trump saying, oh, I can make America great again by establishing tariffs. We know the last businessman president who said that was Herbert Hoover. And we got a Great Depression. But nobody knows history. And again, the conservatives, the right, the Republican Party has done zero, zip, nothing, nada to educate the American people about economics, about free markets, about the role of government, about what the founders really intended. They've been too busy kowtowing to the left. They've completely folded. Well, kowtowing to two elements, to the left and to the religious right. That's what's driving American politics, the left and the religious right. And a lot of people in America are fed up with those two. And I guess somehow they came to the conclusion, this collective action, to get Donald Trump as the antithesis of those two. I'll give you one other reason, and then we're going to go to Sean. The religious right has grown in cultural significance in this country. Religion, and this is going to be controversial, but listen to this. Religion cultivates a mind that is open to being told what to do. Religion is the opposite of freedom. Religion is the opposite of thinking for yourself. Religion is about doing what you are told. It creates a mindset that leaves the door open to an authoritarian, to somebody like Donald Trump, who's going to make America great. How do we know that? Because he said so. That's all you need if you've got a religious epistemology, if you've got a religious way of thinking. He said so. And he's, you know, he's strong. He's powerful. He's non-PC. Let's go for him. All right. This is going to be fun. Sean, it's been a while.
Well, first of all, Donald Trump is a facade. He's not a man. And not a man on any level. He's a pretend man. But here's the other thing, and I agree with you, by the way, about religion, but I think you need to add a word, and that word is organized, because a person can be religious and reject organized religion, such as myself. Because if you think I think this effeminate socialist pope is somehow closer to God than me, I never bought that for a minute. However, I do believe that God gave his only begotten son so I can live. So you can hold two different philosophies.
Let me ask you this. Maybe. We're probably going to disagree on this, but that's fine. It's good for the two of us to disagree and stuff.
I understand. We'll do that at a later date.
One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. I'm an Old Testament guy. I'm not a New Testament guy. Right? The Old Testament.
Yeah, me too.
God tells Abraham to go kill his oldest son. And Abraham is considered a moral hero by all three religions because he doesn't question. He doesn't ask why. He doesn't say but. He goes and does it. And to me, that is an authoritarian. That's an authoritarian attitude to morality. It's an authoritarian attitude to do as I say. That's what I'm against.
But see, when you come at me with the Bible, we got to go in for a penny or in for a pound. We can't pick and choose what we want if you want that. But here's the other thing. You said about the conservatives. I want to get back to this because it's very important to realize that the conservatives realized, much like the Soviets that have portrayed themselves as Democrats, they can profit greatly from the ignorance of the American people. And this election is the antithesis of that, where they have positioned themselves to win big or win even bigger, regardless of which one of these two frauds win. What's going to win is corporatism. What's going to win is the Chamber of Commerce. What's going to win is the corrupt who pretend to be capitalists. So they need a stupefied public, and we've delivered that. And in the form of these welfare patriots who support Trump, I guess you could do either one, while waiting for their benefits check to come on the 15th and 30th,
or the rich cronies who believe they want to be controlled,
and they need to be subjects with free college. So either way you go, government will make more and more money, and the corrupt will make more and more and become more and more powerful. We have been outflanked, which is why I have revoked my consent to be governed. These are very important words, and you know this. That's what this country was founded on. We are anarchists in our bone marrow, and it's about time we return to that. I'm talking about walking and marching and standing in our building. That's what I think needs to be done.
Yeah, no, I'm you know, I'm not an anarchist, as you know, and as we've discussed, I'm not an anarchist. But in the face of this alternative, I'm voting for these guys, and I'm standing up, and I'm going to march, and I'm going to declare my independence, because these guys are much worse than King George, you know, for a lot less than this. The American founding fathers declared a revolution.
And they're half the man King George was. At least King George was man enough to take your stuff at the tip of a spear. They do it
absolutely
at the tip of a pen.
Absolutely. This guy's a wimp.
Criminality.
This guy's got a mouth on him, but that's about it, right? That's all he's got is a mouth.
It's a
and he
fraud.
Can't even he
when
can't
you
even
see him
really
confronted with Hillary Clinton, he doesn't have a mouth on him. He's
no,
like a little girl sitting there.
He's a little girl in front of Hillary. And he couldn't complete a – he can't complete a sentence. He listened to his rallies that everybody cheers, which is what – so here's the thing. Sean, thanks for calling. Really appreciate it, as always. And we agree on most things, and we agree to disagree on others. And one of these days, I'll pull out the Old Testament. You'll pull out the New, and we'll go at it. But here's the thing. What scares me is not so much Trump. What scares me are all these people who are voting for him. What scares me is the passion. What scares me is the fact that some of these, I'm just reading the news as it's coming through the ticker right now. And like Paul Ryan went up to give a speech today in Wisconsin, was booed for daring to criticize Trump and uninviting him because of the vulgarity of Trump. You'd think these people would be civilized, would have a decency, at least to recognize. You know, you could say, I think at this point it's very difficult to say, but you can say, look, I hate Hillary Clinton so much. I resent what Hillary's going to do to this country so much that I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. But he's a vulgar Hollywood. I realize that. But what these people are saying is we're going to defend Donald Trump no matter what he does. When he said at the beginning of the campaign, he said, I could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and these people would still vote for me. That was an insult, guys. He was insulting you. He was saying you would vote for him because you're mindless and you would just follow him. And it turns out he was right. That's what scares me. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. We'll be right back to talk more about your ideal candidate.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority? Or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Rourke, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Rourke, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com. The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So the kind of candidate I would want is a politician who recognized my right to my life, Sean's right to Sean's life, our right to disagree. And as long as we don't come to blows, none of the government's business. As long as Sean doesn't stick his hand into my pocket and takes my stuff, I don't care what he does. I don't care what he thinks. As long as I'm not violating your rights, I get to be left alone to pursue what I believe rationally are the values necessary for my life, for my success, for my happiness. We have a right, an inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as individuals, not as groups, not as collectives, not as whites, blacks, Hispanics, not as men and women, as human beings, as individuals. I want a presidential candidate that recognizes my life is mine. It's not the state's. It's not his. It's not Congress's. It's not an authoritarian's. It's not God's, for that matter. If I want to give my life to God, that's my business. But nobody can impose that on me. My life is mine to do as I see fit. As long as I'm not hurting you, I am to be left alone. Just a political candidate who can just express those kind of ideas would be fantastic. Just somebody who could express some of those ideas. My body is mine. My mind, more importantly, is mine. I'm not a follower. I don't want you to rile me up with hate speech. I want you to use government for the one purpose it was instituted for, to protect me, to protect my rights, to protect fellow Americans' rights. That is, to protect them from force, from fraud. I don't need protection from Chinese manufacturers. I can either compete with them, I can buy them, I can buy their goods, I can trade with them, or I can ignore them. But that's my choice. It's none of your business. You wanna not buy anything from China? Go ahead. We don't need government to do that. You wanna block Chinese trade? Don't buy anything from Walmart or whatever, wherever the stuff that's made in China is. Leave it to us as individuals to make those kind of choices. Leave it to us. I have a right to health care. But that right to health care doesn't mean the government is providing me health care. It means I have a right to go out and choose the doctor of my choice. And as long as we can negotiate a price for his services, I have a right to do that. And the doctor has a right to say, no, I don't want to treat you, or you're not paying enough, or go to another hospital. That's what rights mean. Rights can't be binding me to provide a service to somebody else. Rights can't involve you taking my stuff. You don't have a right to other people's stuff or time or services. You have a right to be left alone. You have a right to be free. I just want a political candidate who understands that and is willing to say something that indicates he understands what that means politically and how we get there. And then I want a candidate who understands that in protecting my rights, they have to be willing to stand up to foreign enemies. They're not just going to roll over and blame us for everything. I want a president who can say the enemy is Islamic radicals, Islamic totalitarians, Islamists, jihadis, whatever you want to call them, and go out, find them, and kill them so that they don't kill any more Americans. But that's the one job of government, right? You think these guys will do it? You think Donald Trump is going to do that? No way. He's a wimp. Just look at his debate with Hillary. He can lash out verbally, but he doesn't understand what needs to be done. You know, the best we can hope for with Donald Trump is he has good advisors. But why would a man of his ability have good advisors? That's beyond me. Anyway, any ideas on what you would like? 312-642-5600. What characteristics would you like in a presidential candidate? Or maybe you want to defend Trump or Hillary. 312-642-5600. So I want somebody who understands what this country is founded on. It's founded on the principle of individualism, on the principle that your life belongs to you, that you have a right to act as you see fit in pursuit of your own happiness. That's the kind of political leader I want. And none of them do that. None of them do that. I mean, Rand Paul, once in a while, would hint at it, but he was so weak, so mealy-mouthed. Gary Johnson has no clue about individual rights. He He just wants to be somewhere in the middle and not to offend anybody, right? One of the consequences of believing that each one of us is an inalienable right is that you can't redistribute wealth, which means we have to completely undo the entire welfare entitlement system. Does Gary Johnson, the so-called great libertarian, does he advocate for that? No. On his website, when it comes to government spending, he says he's going to get rid of waste and fraud. Every candidate in human history has said they're going to get rid of waste and fraud. It's a meaningless, empty statement. How about being radical? How about saying something interesting? I'm looking for somebody interesting. Somebody who has a plan. Somebody who can say something that can get us excited. That's not perverse like these guys. All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPORT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So I'm looking at my news feed, and you know, the world is going nuts. Russia's moving nuclear-capable missile systems towards the Polish border. You know, the Middle East is just a complete disaster and a mess. Aleppo is going to fall to Assad. I actually know where Aleppo is. You know, some presidential candidates don't, it turns out. You know, Russian hackers are hacking all over the U.S. One of our presidential candidates, Hillary Clinton, we know she doesn't know how to deal with Russia, and we know she doesn't know how to deal with the Middle East because she was Secretary of State during this period, and things have only gotten worse, much, much worse under her watch. And Trump, like, you know, he loves Putin. He thinks Putin is wonderful, and has shown no understanding of anything that's going on in the Middle East, no principled understanding of what's going on over there. And these are candidates, and now we have to, because of who Donald Trump is, we have to engage in constant discussion about sex and about thuggery instead of actually discussing real issues and finding what people really think. These are the candidates we have. But Sharon wants to talk about her ideal candidate. All right, Sharon, hi.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. You know, sure. It is so frustrating. I despise Hillary so much. As I told one guy in line today at a Restaurant Depot not far from where I'm working right now, I have to follow immigration laws, and I'm holding off even hiring someone because I don't know what's going to happen. Part of me feels, you know, we've got to be able to know who's coming across the border, but I want my right to be able to hire someone. And if it's the government's
exactly.
job to identify these people, they should. That's just one point. My main point is this. I'm a constitutional conservative. And there was a man, I believe his name was J.T. Watts or J.C. Watts. He was a congressman or a senator out of Oklahoma. He happened to be
He was a congressman. He was a congressman.
I loved him. He was a gentleman. And he stepped down when he said he was going to step down. He said what he was going to do. I voted for Ted Cruz to be the candidate this time. So you could tell I lean very conservative. And like you, I just want to be left alone. We don't require babysitters to, as I love to say, wipe our backsides. Okay, we are adults. When we go in and start a business, I'm starting the second one now. I'm the one taking the risk. Nobody else is, and I don't expect anybody to take that risk with me. I should have the right, if I had kids, to send them where I want to go. If vouchers are there, fine, but I detest our public school system. The whole thing is...
And you should be able to pay your employees how much you're willing to pay them and they're willing to take, and you should be able to run your business and treat your customers
please,
in ways
that
you believe will maximize your profits.
Yes, if I I treated my customers the way my representative treats me as unresponsive as she is, I mean, I would not have a business. And believe me, we have not been able to hire anybody in years since the recession hit. But we are so very upset. I can't believe that they believe that babysitting is their idea of good governance. But I go back to this J.T. Watts, and he was a gentleman's gentleman. He stepped down when he said he was going to. Someone like that combined with a Ted Cruz, and then one other, like a, if you could bring back Ronald Reagan. Leave us alone. Leave us
if
alone.
Only.
That's what I
if
want.
Only. Well, that's great, Sean. You see, Sean, you represent, thanks for calling. Really appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the show. I mean, you represent what this country is really about. This country is a land of entrepreneurs. This country is a land of individualists who want to be left alone, want to pursue their values, pursue their businesses, don't want to be babysat in terms of regulations and licensing laws and minimum wage laws and immigration laws. We want to be able to hire talented people. And if those talented people happen to live in Mexico, you know, the government should be there to make sure that they're not crooks and criminals and terrorists and, you know, carry infectious diseases. But other than that, it's none of anybody's business. Just like it's none of anybody's business if I want to buy something from China or from Singapore or from Ohio or from Europe, it's none of anybody's business, right? It's still none of anybody's business whether I want to get an employee from one of those countries to come and work for me. If they're the best, most talented, and I'm willing to pay them to come here, how did it become the government's business to dictate to us who we can buy from, who we can employ? But this is what Trump presents to us. This is the crazy alternative. We all hate Hillary. I think everybody listening to the show probably hates Hillary. And this is what the alternative Republicans have. And I have to say, while I liked a lot of what Ted Cruz said, I could never vote for somebody, never is a harsh word, but I had a hard time voting for Ted Cruz because in the beginning of his campaign, he said something that I find offensive. He said that a president should start his days on every day on his knees. No, I want a president who starts every day on his feet, confident, assured, out there defending my rights and with confidence, not praying on his knees for some kind of mystical revelation, for some kind of revelation of what's right and what's wrong. I want a president who uses his mind. I want a president who thinks, who figures stuff out, and has the confidence and self-esteem to stand, not to be on his knees. I don't like anybody on their knees. Sorry, I know I'm offending some people, but Ted Cruz was just too religious for my taste. I really would like to find a real presidential candidate who understands the Constitution, who understands the context of the Constitution, which is the Declaration of Independence, who understands individual rights, understands what it means for individuals to be sovereign over their own lives and pursue their own happiness, and yet who can be secular. I don't care what they believe in their own, you know, when they go home at night or where they pray or whatever. I just want them to keep it out of the politics. I want them to have a political philosophy that's independent, at least explicitly independent of their religion. I want them to be able to explain it in terms that use reason. I don't want to rely on revelation for the truth. The truth needs to be defended and proven through reason, through ideas, through logic, through evidence, through facts. We are right. Freedom is good. Individual rights are good, not because somebody said so, not because God said so, but because of our nature, because that is the reality, that is fact. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. We'll be right back.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
So if you're as frustrated as I am by this election and by the choices that we have, if you're looking for somebody who actually understands what this country was founded on and what this country is really about, I really encourage you to pick up one of Ayn Rand's books. Read The Fountainhead, read Atlas Shrugged, and read a nonfiction, Capitalism, the Unknown Ideal, The Virtue of Selfishness. Yes, you heard me right, The Virtue of Selfishness, because what makes Rand unique is that, in my view, Ayn Rand is the American philosopher. She lays the philosophical foundations for what the Founding Fathers did when they founded this country. She understands what it is to be America, what it is to be American, what it is that are uniquely American values more than any author in human history, more in some ways than the founders themselves. And yet she, like me, was an immigrant to this country. She came from Russia, from the Soviet Union. She lived under communism. She knew what the alternative was. She knew that the fundamental battle we all face today is between collectivism and individualism, between reason and mysticism, and between the idea that your light belongs to you versus the idea that your light belongs to the tribe, the group, the state, fill in the blank. No, your life is yours. That's why she wrote The Virtue of Selfishness, The Virtue of Self-Interest, of rational long-term self-interest, not the kind of self-interest that's involved in just doing whatever you feel like doing and exploiting other people. No, the kind of self-interest that's about making your life the best life that it can be and thinking about it, using your mind, using reason to guide your life, to be the best life that you can have. Thinking, using reason, using your mind to pursue your happiness, to exercise your right to your own life as the founders understood it. Ayn Rand was the philosopher of America. And if you love America, as I do, maybe in some ways more than many of you, because I am an immigrant. I chose to be here. I'm not here by accident. You guys are here by accident. But I chose to be here because I love this country. I love the idea of this country. I love the founding of this country. If you love this country, if you're like Sharon, if you hate Hillary and can't stand Trump and just, you know, don't know and looking for a gentleman, looking for a serious human being, a thinker, who represents your values, who represents your ideas, who would run for president, then I encourage you again, read Ayn Rand, because what you'll find in Ayn Rand are real heroes, real businessmen, not Donald Trump businessmen, real businessmen, businessmen who stand for something, who stand for the values that this country is all about, entrepreneurs like Sharon, who create value and who want to trade, who want to offer value for value with their employees, with their suppliers, with their customers, who want to create win-win relationships, not the out of a deal where my gain is your loss. No, where my gain is your gain, where we both gain together. That's the right. That's what a selfish pursuit of happiness means. It means creating win-win relationships. It means living a life guided by your own mind, guided by your own reason, in pursuit of your own happiness. It means letting other people do the same, leaving them alone, not using government to try to manipulate them to behave like you want them to behave. It means not redistributing wealth, not stealing, not using force, not coercing, not using the kind of vulgar language and actions that Donald Trump has been using, and not using the kind of corruption, not being as corrupt as Hillary is and has been. All right, you're listening to the Yaron Brook Show. Talk to you next week. And, you know, actually next week we're going to be preempted by football. So I will catch you in a few weeks. And I'm actually going to be in Chicago.
portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.
The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multi-